Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Well, are you ready for the Word of God? Well, get your Bibles and your phones and your pads. You know, I used to just say get your Bibles, but now it's phones, iPhones, and pads, and get ready. Here's one of my favorite teachers, and he is one of our pastors on staff. And I want you to welcome Pastor Terry Wilson.
When you said favorite, I was like, what are you talking to? Amen. He said something about, you preached last week about the new car smell. You said, and one of you said we're new creatures, and you know how, has anyone ever bought a new car? And you said the new car smell. And so I walked in this morning, smelled like a new church. Does got that new church smell. Amen. I'll get out of these speakers, Randy. I know you're back there just to fussing at me. He fusses at you. Like, you guys complain about feedback and then stand in front of a speaker with a microphone and have the audacity to look at me. It's physics. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk to you briefly today in the time we have about information versus revelation. Information versus revelation. We've got, we live in a society that has a premium on information. I mean, we'll spend thousands of dollars. We'll go get student loans. We'll go into debt, hundreds of thousands of dollars to gain information. Now, I want to be real clear up front. I'm not advocating ignorance here, okay? I'm not. Information in education is good. But I propose to you this morning, from the context of a believer, that information alone is just information. Until God breathes on it and illuminates it and reveals what you can do with that information, it's just information. You know, the Bible says that there's hidden things in here. There's mysteries in here that he's hidden for who? Us. And really, when we start to really delve into, you know, what God has for us, it's not even a fair fight. It's not. You have the keys to the kingdom. Yes. You have the power to speak to mountains, and they move. You have the capacity. We're talking about this in Sunday school. You have the capacity for things to go terrible in your life, and you walk right through them unscathed. Yes. Non-believer don't have that. That is a huge advantage. You know, God didn't put you on this earth to participate. He put you on this earth to dominate. It's in the Bible. Jesus didn't come to the earth to get a participation trophy. He came to the earth to take over, to show up, and to show out. Amen? So there's a huge delineation I want or distinction I want to sort of share with you this morning in our time. And I would tell you that, like I said, information is good. There's this guy that I listen to. You might have heard of him. His name is Dave Ramsey. Anybody ever heard of Dave Ramsey? Yeah. Good stuff. Mike Deck. Come here, brother. Who in here would like some information on finance? Raise your hand if you'd like information on finance. I'm going to let Mike pick who to give that to so it don't come from me. It's not my fault. You can't get mad at me. See how I did that? But I would tell you the reason why Brother Dave Ramsey there can speak with such authority about areas of finance. Has anyone heard his story? There's a reason why he knows how to put a budget together. There is a reason why he knows how to do things with very little and to overcome financially. I tell you, anytime something touches your life, there's a purpose for the pain. And the revelation you can, and it's afforded to you in that, if you will access it, it's the revelation in that that will bring the elevation. Information just brings knowledge. Revelation brings advancement. It brings something greater than where you're at. So let's get into it. There's a passage in your Bible over in Matthew 16, and we want to read that. It says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said something to them then. He says, well, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said this, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on things of man. Isn't it amazing? I relate so much to Peter. I can be the hero and I can go straight to zero in a matter of a breath. I can go from being the smartest guy in the room to the saying, who let this guy in? I have that capacity. And one of the things that helped Peter and hurt Peter is he's sort of like, I'll say this and then think about it. Right? He was one of those type of guys, you know what I'm saying? Hey, I don't think anything rattled around in his head much before it just came right out. So me and Peter probably have a lot in common in that area that we have to work on. But I tell you this, if God moves on me, and when he does move on me, I don't have enough sense to ponder it. I just, poof, right here it is. So it can be a help sometime. But I want to talk to you about first location. First location. If you'll notice, they showed up in a place called Caesarea in Philippi, and that place there was a place of debauchery. It was a very sinful place. It was a place where there was no believers to be found. It was just Gentiles, and they didn't show up by happenstance. They didn't show up by bad luck. They didn't get GPS screw them up, and they show up in the wrong area. Jesus led them there. Jesus led them there. And upon leading him to a very dark place in that particular society and culture, one of the greatest revelations recorded in New Testament, really the Bible, came forth. And that has come out of the utterance of Peter. You're Christ, the Son of the living God. And I wonder sometimes, have I allowed my location in life, my area, my circumstance, my situation, to excuse myself from having to draw nearer to God? I wonder if there's sometimes I say, well, God, when I just get that better job, God, when I get that other location, if we can move out of this house and move into a better neighborhood, or God, if I could just get from here and go there, then my ministry will take place. Then what you've given me will really be able to show forth. I wonder, have I ever done that? I wonder maybe sometimes if you've been tempted to do that. I wonder sometimes if I've been tempted that I can only hear God if I'm in the perfect location with everything just right. There's no distractions. There's no hindrance. There's no pushback. Everyone believes like I do, thinks like I do. I'll tell you, one of the problems we're having in society today is we have created a little echo chamber for ourselves. I watch the channels that agree with me. I friend the people that agree with me, and I ban the people that don't agree with me, because I don't want my preconceived ideas, my ideas, my thoughts, my wants, my desires, my pet whatever, I don't want it to be challenged. And but see, that's not life, is it? But we are creating a culture that more and more cannot deal with opposition, can it? Cannot deal with pushback, cannot deal with being challenged. I wonder sometimes if God has got me in a hard spot simply because that's where he wants me so he can speak something great to me. I was, Gina comes up on Mondays to work at the church, and so I got the house to myself and the kids, and so sometimes if we're going to eat pizza, and specifically Pizza Inn, that's the day we can do it, because Gina hates pizza, and we all love pizza, and specifically Pizza Inn. So what do? We load up and go over to Heron Circle and go down Asheville Highway, and we go to our favorite place, Pizza Inn. And so we're sitting there and we're eating there this Monday, and I'm glad the kids didn't notice because it would have been embarrassing maybe. I don't know. I probably wouldn't for me because I would explain. But we're sitting there, we're eating, we're having fun. And by the way, I'm eating crustless, low-carb pizza. I'm trying to be good. I am. So, keto. I'm keto. I was eating keto friendly. And a song by Mercy Me came on that I've done up here years ago, probably 5-6 years ago, and it's called Bring the Rain. I don't know if you remember that. It says, I could count 1,000 times people asking me why I can praise you after all I've gone through. And man, that song just started resonating. And the reason it did for me is because when that song first came out, I was at a really heavy spot. I was at a hard place. And that song was like almost a song of deliverance, a song of, you know, and because the hook is, and when it all said and done, when life has thrown you its curveball, when life has thrown you whatever, the guy in the song, he ends up with, Jesus, bring the rain. Because it doesn't matter. If I got him, I got it all. If I got him, it doesn't matter my circumstance, my situation, my location, my lot, wherever I'm at right now. It might not be an ideal situation, but as long as I got Jesus, I got everything. He is my great and wonderful reward. He is everything I need. So I wonder sometimes if I've made excuses based on my location. Look at the deception of man's perception. Sometimes in our society right now, they think they're being very kind to Jesus. Well, even the Muslim faith will say he was a great prophet. And Jesus is asking his disciples right there, who do people say that I am? And so some said, well, Elijah, yeah, he worked miracles like Elijah. That's very complimentary. He's got this ministry. He's an upstart preacher. He's really taking the area by storm. He's the latest craze, you know. And so that, you know, they're complimenting. Yeah, you're little Elijah. Or maybe he's an evangelist like John the Baptist. Yeah, he's out. He's in the highways and the byways, and he's getting people, you know, coming to God and all that. That's a huge compliment, right? Or maybe he's like one of the prophets. He's boldly declaring the word of God, and he's changing the nation and speaking to the nations like Jeremiah and Isaiah and all that. Very complimentary, but it was all based on man's perception, which leads to deception. He is all that, but he's way more, isn't he? And so I wonder sometimes, have I based my life, my decisions, have I done things thinking, well, everybody says this is cool, this is the way to do it. The knowledge of man says, you know, handle it this way. But I'm walking right into the trap of an enemy because I've been deceived. I'm not walking into the revelation of God. Because there is a distinct difference, isn't there? Maybe God has given me something. Maybe God has shown me something. Maybe God has revealed something to me, but I'm thinking to myself, well, who am I? I'm just so-and-so from such-and-such. What has God given you? What mysteries of heaven has he whispered in your ear, yet you have decided not necessarily to move on, to speak on, to declare? When you make a declaration in your life, it's more than just words. It's as far as me and my house, this is the way we roll. This is how we spend our money. This is how we live. This is what we watch. This is what we do. This is how we act. This is what we, it permeates every part of, everything I do in my life is declaring something. And I'm wondering sometimes, am I making the declarations based on what he's whispered into my ear or based on the perceptions of man? Because Peter spoke up. I love Peter. This was his shining moment. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm telling you, when you make a declaration about the revelation that God has put on the inside of you, the next thing is validation. Yes. Are you searching for validation in your life? Are you searching for an approval, an endorsement? Are you searching for an attaboy? When you're searching from it for man, I know from personal experience, you're let down. And it's not because men, that you can have people that love you, but men are men, women are women. But when I do things based on what God tells me, he's always faithful to validate me. to say, I see you, son. I see what you're doing. I see the heart behind what you're doing. And I approve it. I validate it. When we look for validation from any other situation, circumstance, it doesn't matter who, what, when, where, we're always going, and it's a reflection on us, not them. Amen? Because he validates. Amen? So when I speak what he's given, and I live my life like he's living, and I make a declaration, this is how he's told me to live. This is what he taught. It might be good for Tom to do this, but it's not good for me. Or it might be good for me to do it, but it's not good for Tom. What is he speaking specifically to you? Because see, Paul says we're free to do all things. The question for a believer is not, can I, should I? Amen? The law tells you, you can't, who to go with, who not to go with, what to do, what to say, what, you know. That's not God. That's not the grace of God that we live in today. It's should we? Foundation. You want to build a life on the firm foundation? You want to build a business that can endure hardships in the stock market or in the economy? Do you want to build a marriage that can endure challenges? Do you want to build a ministry that can endure pushbacks, setbacks, hiccups, letdowns, and let-goes? Then build it not on information. There's tons of information out there. But build it on the revelation of who God is and how he's working and what he's going to do through you. Because how many know he's got a specific word for you? He's got a specific word for you. You were born unique. You were born different. You're not like anyone else. He's got a general word that's his will, and he's got a specific word for you. What's he saying to you? Build a foundation on his word. Information about what he says, revelation about how I'm going to apply it to my life. How I'm going to take this word and live it out and not just be a hearer, but a doer of it as well. Build a foundation on it. Domination. Notice when he says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus responds, blessed are you. Blessed are you, Simon. He validates him. For man didn't give you this. It came from my Father. And then he says something very unique. He says, I am going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Which basically means you and I are empowered to dominate every part of our lives. Everything we come in contact with, we're not trying to catch up. They're trying to catch up with us. We are not thermostats or just thermometers just saying this is the read of the temperature. This is what our society is saying. It's 110, it's hot. But we're the thermostats. We go in and we set the environment in which we're sitting. Amen? We don't have to just read it out. We can dominate. We're not here to get a participation award. We're here to get the trophy. We win. It wasn't even a tie. It wasn't overtime. Amen? Domination. And then there's something very unique. I've heard this passage preached so many different ways. So I did some word studies because I just wanted to say, God, what are you telling me? Because he says, authorization. He says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. What he's talking about there is you now have access to all of this stuff. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to conjure it up. You don't have to say 3 Shondas, 2 bow ties, and 1 should have bought a Honda. I mean, you can. There's nothing wrong with it. But you don't have to. You can do whatever. He has given you the keys to the kingdom. The end of that is but about a Kia. Should have bought a Honda, but about a Kia. It's that Japanese tongue, you know, Pentecostal brothers over in Japan. Help me, Lord. Y'all don't laugh at that. That's terrible. I shouldn't have. I served in the Baptist church for years, and they were crazy enough to ordain me, so it's their fault. You can blame them for this. And one of the pastors was adamant about it's gone away, it's passed away, blah, blah, blah. And I says, brother, you could speak in tongues if you want to. No, ain't no way. Ain't no way this brother going to speak. I said, yeah, you can, because he drove a, what's your car's name? Because that's what he drove at the time. No, it's a Honda Accord. He was driving an Accord. And I says, you see a car out there? He says, what is that? It says a Honda. I says, now say, should have bought a Honda. He says, should have bought a Honda. And I said, you see a car over there? I said, it's a Kia. I said, but I bought a Kia. Say that. He said, should have bought a Honda, but I bought a Kia. I said, see? Now, here's the interpretation to make it legal. You really should have got a Nissan. You know, they kept me in that church 2 years after that, too. Some people just don't learn. I mean, I don't know. You can't help some people. But, yeah, he says, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. We don't have to conjure anything up. We don't have to go through any spiritual exercise. We don't have to do anything to walk in our place. It's there. It's there for the receiving. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning because we're on forgiveness and the idea of forgiveness. Because when you talk to believers sometimes about forgiveness, you have to be a little more precise with your words. Because I don't want anybody going away thinking, well, I thought I'm saved. I thought I was forgiven. What are you talking about receiving forgiveness? Do I have to continue? Because there's a difference between obtaining something and receiving something. Does that make sense? When I became a child of God, I obtained forgiveness. He gave it to me. I've got it. But through my own cluttered thinking, through my own soulish ideas, sometimes I don't receive that which I've obtained. Does that make sense? So, you know, and the more I can receive what he's given me, the more I can flesh it out and I can be a vessel to give it. You know that passage over in Matthew, the Beatitudes, where he says, blessed are the pure heart, for they shall see God. The word pure there means, it's where we get the word cathartic from, or catheter. I don't know if anybody's ever had a catheter or been around it and understand what it is. But if you can't do what the catheter helps you do, you're in a mess. And I do mean a mess, right? And it damages the body. Well, our soul gets damaged when things build up, when a mess builds up, and we don't release the toxins of life. He says, blessed are the pure of heart. And forgiveness is the catheter to the soul that gets rid of all of that toxin, all of that buildup, all of that mess. It doesn't matter who's right or wrong. For argument's sake, just say they're wrong if it makes you feel better, or they're not wrong, whatever. The question is, are you going to forgive? Because forgiveness is not an emotion, it's a verb. I choose to forgive. I might still be mad at you, but I sin not. I sin not. I'm mad. I wish you wouldn't have done that, but I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to forgive you. Well, he's not repentant. Doesn't matter. I forgive him. I'm not going to hold on to that mess, but I'm not. I want a clear, clear heart. I want a clear heart. I want a clear spirit. I want a clear mind. Why? Because I want all the stuff that he's got for me. And I can't receive that which I've obtained when I've got all this junk, this buildup, this mess. So we have authority. We have access. But sometimes we lose the keys. Anybody ever lost the keys to your house and couldn't get in?
Yes.
Or your car?
Yes.
Yeah. And sometimes we do that. Now, we go on and it says this, something very interesting. And I did a little word study. It was very interesting here where it says, well, let me get over here. What passage are we in? Matthew. I'm over here in Luke. Why am I in Luke, guys? That don't make sense. Let's see right here where it says here. Now, just get da-da-da-da. He said to him, Peter, my Father who's in heaven, and I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And he goes on to say something very interesting. And if I didn't realize this time, I'm learning stuff here. He says, I will give you whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. I've heard this preached my whole life because I come from a Pentecostal background, and we all had our different interpretations on that. Until I did a word study, I didn't understand the context of what he's saying. Binding and loosening for a person in that time of the Jewish faith meant something completely different than the English words mean to us. when you told someone they're going to be bound or they're going to be loosed in the idea of the Jewish faith, it was this. You know, they were under the law at the time. And how many know when you get real, real legalistic, when you get real finite on laws and stuff, all of a sudden, you don't know what to do with the gray area. That makes sense? Well, here's the line, but it's all over the line. How do we determine? And so they would have to call a priest in who had the authority to bind or loose to make the call. I grew up in a time where ESPN was just coming out, and they had this show on, you make the call. And they'd have this sports act. Remember that? This sports thing would happen. Maybe he slid in the home, and they swiped, and they said, okay, was he safe? Or was he out? Or they throw it to first, or it'd be a basketball player or something. But they wanted the viewer at home to make the call. And then they would tell you if you were right or wrong because they'd do the replay. Well, at the time, the priest and the rabbis and the hierarchy and the clergy, they sort of played referee. And so they looked at the play, and they gave you an out or a safe. One of the funniest ones I read about, and it was a true at the time, in under the law, if you had a pet, like a dog, and it died in your house, well, the house is unclean. It's unfit. You had to do all kinds of stuff to even be able to move back in. If you had a pet die in the house, maybe you was gone away getting groceries or something or whatever, and you come back and, you know, Fido was out, you know, cold on the, and then all of a sudden you got to call the rabbi in because you can't live here anymore. You got to figure out what to do. But if he died outside, you were fine, right? So a lot of animals back then had to live out in the cold. It didn't matter. Can't afford to lose a house, son. So I'll be back with a biscuit in a minute. Well, there was one case that I was reading about where Fido had came up on the portico, was up on the porch, and he died. Well, now, is he in the house or is he out of the house? You make the call. So they had to get a rabbi in, you know, to look at it and give the signal. And so here's what the question came back from the rabbi. Was his nose pointing toward the house or pointing outside? And so once he ruled on it, it was like the law, it set a precedence, and that's how they would judge whether the dog or animal was inside the house or outside the house. You see how legalism gets ridiculous? And what, something very profound. This is the mindset. This is the attitude. This is all this audience that Jesus is speaking to right now. This is all they ever knew. This is their reality. And he just told him, from now on, I'm going to let you do the binding and the loosening. There's no more rabbis you're going to call. Whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth. So if you want Fido to live with you, and he dies in the house, if you loose it, it's loosed. Do you see the freedom in that? Do you see the authority and now the power to regulate yourself? Listen, if it's a sin to you to eat meat, what does Paul say? Don't eat meat. That solves that problem. We don't have to call a rabbi in. But if you're free to eat a steak and lobster, my name's Bennett. Put me in it. We no longer have this legalistic mindset. Let me tell you something, folks. It is so much easier to tell people what to wear, what to look like, when Charlie hits the first chord, how they should respond to be spiritual. The authority of God, the kingdom, says, whatever you loose is loose. Whatever you bind is bound. You make the call. That doesn't mean he doesn't have moral laws. You can't go, you know, I'm not saying, but this frivolous, when you walk in revelation, I'm telling you, revelation gives you freedom. Revelation gives you a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord, you've got freedom. You don't live this bound up bondage lifestyle. Oh no. Some song came on the radio and it didn't say Jesus. I used to, y'all laugh, but I used to live like that. There is freedom for you, folks. Amen. Christ died for freedom. There is freedom for you. You don't have to live like that anymore. Let's go on. Says here, aspiration. Sometimes I wonder, I do it with all the great intentions. I have all the great motivations. I'm not trying to, it's not for nefarious reasons. I'm just trying to do what I think is right. I'm like Peter. I sometimes rebuke the Lord. No, far be it from you to die and go to the cross, Lord. Far be it. We're not going to do it this way, Lord. No, Lord, you need to do it this way. It's undignified the way I'm seeing this unfold. Has anyone else ever done that, or is it just me? And God's showing me, Terry, is it your aspirations or my revelation that's dictating where we're going here? I'm telling you, sometimes I wished he would just go along with my plan, but he's got this thing of sovereignty. He's got this thing about being sovereign, and it's either going to be him, Lord, or me, Lord. And then we get into all this back and forth. So my question I leave you today with is this. What is God revealing to you? What is God revealing to you? Nothing wrong with information. Get information. But don't be Sam the Settler saying, okay, I've learned this and that, us four no more, you know, I'm not no more growth, because I'm telling you, elevation, promotion comes from you walking out, declaring, living out the revelation God is giving you. And you got to be bold. You don't need to be timid. What is God saying to you this morning? What is God calling you? What do you feel the Spirit of God pulling and wooing you, saying, if you would do this? Because I'm telling you, what at least it is in my life, when he's pulling me and urging me and wooing me and compelling me to do this, it never looks like I want it to look like. It's never in the time period I want it. It is always inconvenient. Why he does that? He likes messing with me. Now, y'all might have a better relationship. I don't know. I'm just speaking from my own personal experience. But when me and the Lord get together and he's revealing things, Terry, I want you to do this. I mean, I was on a show the other day. Me and Reagan do these podcasts and stuff. And the Lord just said, give this to this guy. And that guy irritated me. He did. Now, I love him. I'm commanded to love him. But there's nowhere in the Bible you can say I have to like him. I don't like him. He's just one of those personalities. It's probably me. It's a reflection on me. I know that. But I just like. Because see, here's the thing. When I give that to him, it's not even going to cost me what it was to give him. I then have to compensate the guy that is his client, because what he's trying to sell him, I just gave away. So it's like a double whammy, right? And I was like, nah, this can't be right. And then I told him, I says, I tell you what, after this the program today, I want you to send an email to Reagan and tell him I told you we're going to do da da da. And then and Reagan looked at me like, are you sure? And at the end, the enemy will even whisper in your ear, oh, you just silly. It's just going to fall apart now. Nah, look what you did. That's goofy, Terry. And it's going to cause a problem with the client, and it's going to cause this problem. I mean, all these, what, spiritual torture is what it was. Just harassment, not torture, just harassment. And I stayed firm, and I said, oh, we're going to do this. And I've already seen, not specifically from him, but something over here I was waiting to see fruit from. All of a sudden, fruit started popping up. Elevation comes from revelation. But revelation, undeclared, unmoved on, unspoke on, will stay dormant and does nothing. You cannot expect anything until you do something. A seed that's not sown is just seed. When it's sunflower seed, you need it. But it won't bring forth anything for you. What has God told you? What has the fear of man, the fear of failure, the fear of whatever, held you back from moving on? I'm telling you, God has got great things for you. God is, he's a big, big God. He can do more than you could ever think, dream, or imagine. He can do it, I'm telling you, and he'll do it in ways that will shock you. And he will bring goodness to you in streams and in channels and in areas you would have never. I have seen my enemies, my sworn enemies, give me stuff. And they still don't like me. And give me stuff. That's the God that we serve. I'm telling you, when you walk and act and move out on the revelation of the information of his holy word and him speaking to you, and it's confirmed. I'm not just saying free willing. God told me to buy a car I couldn't afford, and it didn't work, Terry. It's not revelation. But when you are moving by the Spirit of God and the power of God and the unctioning of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, it's a fixed fight. It is a fixed fight. You win every time. And listen, if you're down on the mat right now, if life has thrown a punch and you've been hit, the bell hasn't rung. Get back up. You are not out. My Bible reads a good man falls how many times? And he does what? And if you've got the grace, if he said you can do it, then you've got the grace to do it. Get back up. Don't give up. Don't quit. God's got greatness for you. You were created for, by, and for the purposes of greatness. Amen? Amen. Love you guys. Thank you, family. Let's go ahead and I want to bless you guys, if it's okay. Does anyone need prayer? I don't want to close out without any prayer. But if there's something that you're struggling with and you're thinking, is this God, is this not God? You know, the Bible says there's wisdom in what? Multitude of counsel. So if you need counsel and you need that, come up for prayer. Be more than happy to get you hooked up with someone that walks in revelation in that area. Okay? How many know there's purpose for pain? And you need to be around people that are walking in a greater grace in a certain area you're looking for. If you got financial trouble, get around someone that's beat the demon of poverty. Because if you got healing issues, you got health issues, get around someone that has beat the demon of ailment and sickness. See, because information says God is Jehovah Jireh. Revelation says, I know Jehovah Jireh. See, there's a difference. Information says God heals. Revelation says, I know Jehovah Nisi. We walk together. We talk together. So if you need that, the altar will be open after service day. I want to bless you guys and we'll be dismissed. Lord, I thank you for this family. I thank you for this people. I thank you for this body. I thank you for your bride. I thank you. You have a beautiful, beautiful bride. And I'm in awe of how you are wooing her and cleaning her and bringing her into the throne room of your grace and your mercy and your power. And I thank you for empowering us, Lord, as your bride, to do your will on this earth, in this time, with what we have. Lord, our mountains are big, but you are bigger. So, Lord, right now, I declare your word over this people. I declare them blessed in their comings, and I declare them blessed in their goings. I declare that everything they touch will be blessed. I declare that everything that they come in contact with will be for your glory. I declare that nothing can touch anyone in here without going through the sovereign hands of you. And Lord, if anything does touch them, it's for your goodness and glory and for their advancement. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do this week in this people. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.